And if you have a marker in your Bible, you may want to put it there in Revelation chapter 4, because we're going to be coming back to this a few times during the course of the lesson. I'd like to read this chapter in your hearing to begin this morning. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open to heaven. And the first voice which I heard was a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone, and in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders, sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Behold, the throne there was like a sea of glass, like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like a calf. The third living creature had the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worships him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." As we look at the scene that is pictured for us here, we see when we come before the throne of God that beauty is defined. We see that God is exalted. We see holiness is honored, praise is lifted, man is humbled, authority is respected, and worship is accomplished. We need to be aware of the throne room of God and what happens when we enter that throne room. We need to fix within our hearts the proper attitude that we need to have before the Father's throne in worship. When we enter there, and we often talk about coming before the throne of God, especially when we talk about prayer, we understand that God is the King of the universe. We understand the power that he possesses in that position. In Psalm chapter 95 and verse 1, we read, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. The psalmist here very clearly points out that when we come together to worship God, it is as though we are before the throne of God. We see all these things that are pictured there before Him, before that throne, and in that throne room in Revelation chapter 4 here. The Bible pictures God sitting on a throne of majesty and greatness. One above all of the universe, the one who created all things. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." What a glorious picture we have of the throne of God, the majesty that he has. It is as though the train of his robe is filling the temple. And that was no small area, was it? In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, we see, "I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire." Perhaps the greatest picture of God sitting on the throne is found here in what Daniel wrote that he saw. The power and majesty, obviously, Daniel is talking here in physical terms because that's what we understand. And we understand God is spirit. He's not going to have a snowy flowing beard. But we see the picture here in our minds of someone with wisdom. Wisdom of long life. We see a picture of someone with authority. Someone sitting on a throne, someone with power. When we open our spiritual eyes and look at the picture before us here of the throne of God, it's as if we're walking up to the steps to that throne room when we come together to worship Him. The great golden doors opening and showing us a glimpse of the power and majesty of our God and Father who has created all things. We see a great picture here painted for us in Revelation chapter 4. God on his throne, surrounded by cherubim, surrounded by the 24 elders, surrounded by a sea of glass. Like crystal, clear as crystal, spreading out before the throne. So we see that what's pictured here for us. Now, what happens here? First of all, we see that beauty is defined. We see the beauty that surrounds the throne, that encompasses the entire throne room. There's such a deep beauty here that it's almost hard to appreciate all of it. the spiritual beauty, the purity of what's in this room. We see the beauty of God. We have not, of course, looked on God. But when we do, we will see true beauty. And this is the closest picture that man can paint of what that beauty will be like. God's beauty surpasses the beauty of anything created by man. Anything that is in the created world. God's beauty surpasses the purest of lives. We see in the Old Testament one who was raised that he did not see death. But even he does not portray the great beauty of God and what we see pictured for us here. We see pictured for us the idea of pure stones. Jasper and sardius stones are a deep red. We see a rainbow that is pictured as an emerald, a very deep green. Vivid colors that show us the glory that's being pictured here. One whose beauty is deep and brilliant. One who there is, in whom there is no flaw. Beauty, according to dictionary.com, is defined as the quality present in a thing or person that gives intense pleasure or deep satisfaction to the mind, whether arising from sensory manifestations as shape, color, sound, so forth, a meaningful design or pattern, or something else as a personality in which high spiritual qualities are manifest. This is what we see when we examine the throne room of God. When we come together to worship Him, it is as if we are approaching His throne. And this is what we see when we see the picture of God's throne room. This is what we need to hold to when we come together to worship God. It's a beautiful thing to approach God. But here in this place, if I don't lose the remote and all these papers, we find that God is exalted. The word exalted means to be raised, elevated, to be lifted up. We think of the king on his throne as being exalted. He's above all things physically, above all things in authority, in power, in prestige, in honor, and in magnificence. He is above all. God is the exalted one. God is the king sitting on his throne in the throne room of heaven. Psalm chapter 57 and verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. And again, we turn to Isaiah, this time in 25 and verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things. Your counsel of old are faithfulness and truth. We're given a picture of the exalted God in Revelation chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 that we read. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones were 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and back. We see picture here beauty, but beyond beauty, awesome power. We see one who has the power and the exalted position over all of creation, over all of the elements. We see the power that he possesses pictured in lightning and thunder. No man controls these things. Man stands in awe of these things. I don't know how many of you have seen the news recently, but there's been a lot of storms in the southeast. And I'm sure we have some in attendance here this morning who can attest to the severe storms that come through that area, especially in the springtime. The power that is seen in lightning and thunderstorms that man has no control over, but these elements are seen here in the throne room of God because he does control these things. He has the power even over things that are so far beyond man's control. Before the throne, however, holiness is honored. In Psalm chapter 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. Holiness doesn't seem to be something that's honored in the world anymore. Rather, it's something to be denigrated, denied. Anything that is sacred is thrown away, is trampled underfoot. Speech is corrupt, it's filthy, it's crass. Morals are loose and vulgar. Many develop personal relationships for intensely selfish purposes. Personal entertainment seems to be what everybody craves. And more people seem to be turning to entertainment that, when I was growing up, proverbially was called wallowing in the pig pen. And that's what the world seeks today. They don't seek holiness. It no longer has honor in the place of man. Instead, man looks to his own ways and his own pleasures. To be holy is to be like God. For God is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. This is how we need to conduct ourselves, not only when we come together to worship God as though we are standing in his throne room or before his throne room, but in all of our lives. because whatever we do is in the presence of God. God sees and knows all. Verse 8 of Revelation chapter 4, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." That is the fact that he is eternal. In the Greek, I'm told, I don't read Greek, but I'm told that there are actually nine holies proclaimed here in Revelation chapter 4. Three of them come across in our English translations. But in the throne room, holiness is honored. When we come together as coming together before the throne of God, it is for a purpose, and that is to glorify God. But here in this place also, man is humbled. Humility is not to think or behave more highly than we ought. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each a measure of his faith." Man is humbled. When we come before the throne of God, we see why God is so much greater than man. We see that God is so much more powerful and so much greater than us in every way that we can't imagine what it would be to be like God. But consider the psalmist's words in Psalm 144, verses 3 and 4. "Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow." Man is insignificant compared to God. We are insignificant compared to God. And when we approach him, we feel humility, knowing that we are nothing compared to what he is. Notice again our reading in verses 9 and 10. "Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before his throne." No matter how exalted a man becomes, king of whatever country or principality, that authority is nothing. It's cast to the ground before the God of heaven. Praise is lifted here. Praise is the act of lauding, commending, approving, honoring, and admiring another. As we read in Psalm chapter 145 and verse 21, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever." What man can say these things? Or what can be said of a man in these things? It can't happen, can it? But in God, the writer says, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord forever and ever." In the presence of God, praise is pictured as almost jumping from the lips. In Psalm chapter 148 and verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. We can't help but praise God when we come into His presence. We can't help but think of all that He has done for us and realize His greatness and want to bless and honor Him and praise Him. God is worthy to receive our praise. Verse 11 of our context, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. But finally, authority is respected. Respect authority is to do the things that the one in authority presents as being necessary. Jesus never went beyond God's authority. In John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, what did He speak? He spoke the things of the Father. What He spoke didn't come from Himself. Authority is respected. You see no picture of rebellion or disrespect before the throne of God. God's worship is conducted according to His pleasure. Man's inventions are absent. The only thing that exists is the will of God and man's yielding to it. Again in verse 11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. God's will is what is presented for us. It's for God's pleasure that we do all things. It is for God's pleasure that we exist to please Him. We need to worship Him as He's authorized in spirit and in truth. John 4 and 24, God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. I said finally, I forgot, there is just one more point, and I apologize, but we'll try to make it as brief as we can. But it's important for us to realize that worship is accomplished. Worship is the total and complete adoration and devotion to another. God is the only one worthy of worship. In worship, there's the worshiper and the one who is worshiped. We are admonished to worship God and no other. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, I fell on my feet to worship Him, but He said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant. John here falling before the angel. And of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. As we noted in verse 10 here, we see the 24 elders falling down, casting their crowns down, falling down on their face, worshiping God. We cannot help but worship before the throne of God. We owe our worship to Him. It is the ultimate act of man to worship the true God. In Psalm chapter 29 and verse 2, the psalmist says, give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in beauty and holiness. So what do we see? In this throne room, we see beauty is defined. God is exalted, holiness is honored, praise is lifted, man is humbled, authority is respected, worship is accomplished. We need to remember the beauty of God, His brilliant, deep color that is seen in this beauty, the thunder and lightning that comes from His throne, the four living creatures surrounding our holy God, the 24 elders bowing down and casting their crowns before Him, the glass sea clear and smooth as crystal, the praises that are offered to God, and our place in humility as we grope before Him in worship. If we keep this picture of the throne room of God before us when we are assembled to worship, we will have the proper spirit in our worship. We will have the proper attitude in humility, looking to God and the glory that He has. But what about you today? When you worship God, do you do so acceptably, in accordance with His will? Or is your mind on worldly things and issues of this life? Is there something in this life that is standing between you and the God of heaven? Is there something in your life that separates you from God? Is there sin in your life that you have not chosen to repent of, to change your mind? If there is something standing between you and God this morning, you need to make it right if you want to stand before that heavenly throne when Jesus returns. Or if you are not a child of God, but understand your responsibility that without being a member of the body of Christ, that there is no hope of eternal life.